Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant, and you can send messages to the show on Twitter, at Go For It Gant. And while you're there, give me a follow at Go For It Gant as well. Expected today to be joined by 11-time Pro Bowler, newest member to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the one, the only Willie Rofe. We're going to get his take on this bounty situation with the Saints. And also, Peyton Manning, one of the biggest stories that is out there right now, bigger than even March Madness in the NCAA tournament. So this is a big story we're going to talk to Willie Rofe about and get his take on what's going on with Peyton Manning and how he sees this thing playing out. Also, expected to be joined by actor and one of the stars of AMC's The Killing, Eric Layden, lifelong Lakers fan, and we're going to get his thoughts on the Lakers and how he feels about his Lakers at this point right now. The Lakers are currently the fifth seed in the Western Conference. If the season were to end today, they would play the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs. But the Lakers don't look like the Lakers of years past. But we're going to talk to Eric about that. And also, we're going to be joined by Pittsburgh Steeler running back and now free agent running back, Mwelde Moore. He's going to come on and talk about his season, his free agency plans, and also his foundation. He has a great foundation, and we're going to talk to him about those great things that he's doing in the community. He has a bunch of events coming up, and we're going to talk to him about those events. Great show for you today, as always. I'm here. I'm battling a little bit of a cold right now, but I'm fighting through it, getting through it, and hopefully I'll be good to go as the show continues. But I took my Robitussin, and hopefully that'll get me through these 2 hours. But I'm a trooper, I'm a gamer, and I'm going to fight it through all the way to the end. I will get it done. And speaking of teams trying to get it done, the Denver Broncos met yesterday with free agent quarterback Peyton Manning. Yes, free agent quarterback Peyton Manning. And you may say, oh, the Broncos have Tim Tebow. No, when it comes to Peyton Manning, it doesn't matter what you got. It doesn't matter who you have in terms of a quarterback. Unless your quarterback is named Brady, unless your quarterback is named Rodgers, Breeze, or Eli Manning for that matter, unless your quarterback is any of those guys, if you're a franchise in the NFL, you need to look at Peyton Manning. You need to at least look at it. You got to look at it. At least look at it. You got to at least look at Peyton Manning. And you look at this whole situation with Peyton Manning now. He is a free agent. He is out on the market. And you could argue that this is the best free agent quarterback ever. And the reality is, guys like Peyton Manning do not come on the open market every day. I mean, there's not every day where you have an opportunity to get a franchise quarterback like Peyton Manning every day. These type of guys just don't come out on the open market every day. They just don't do that. They just don't do that. They don't come out on the market every day. You don't get an opportunity out of Peyton Manning every day. So with that being said, if you're a team, of course, you got to at least look at it. You got to at least look at it. And you look at it, and it's interesting to get the take of some of the guys around the league, especially on Twitter. And you look at a guy like Darnell Dockett from the Arizona Cardinals, and you're wondering, about him, and he's coming out and saying basically, you know, he wants Peyton Manning in Arizona, and you know, you don't get an opportunity to play with a guy like a Peyton Manning. I mean, he knows that these guys like Peyton Manning, being on the open market is not an everyday occurrence. It's not an everyday occurrence. I mean, so when you have an opportunity to see and get a Peyton Manning, you have to do what you have to do to make that happen, or you have to at least do your due diligence. You at least have to do your due diligence. I mean, you have to do that. You have to. And the Denver Broncos started that process yesterday. You had Darnell Dockett on Twitter Tuesday night talking about Peyton to AZ. That's what he tweeted to the many of his followers out there. And so, yes, you have Kevin Cobb under contract. Yes, you have John Skelton there as well. But none of those guys are Peyton Manning, especially if Peyton Manning is a healthy Peyton Manning. So Darnell Dockett, obviously, wants Peyton Manning. He wants Peyton Manning, and he wants him bad. He wants Peyton Manning, and he wants him bad. The problem becomes, what happens if they do not get Peyton Manning and they have to go back? He has to go back, and Kevin Cobb is the quarterback, or John Skelton is the quarterback. He has to talk to those guys. What does he say to those guys? That lies the problem there. But going back to Peyton Manning and that whole situation, you look at Peyton Manning, obviously, like I said before, if you get a healthy Peyton Manning, you're going to get a player who was one, obviously, before the injuries, before the neck surgeries, was a top-five quarterback and arguably the best quarterback in the game of the national, in the game of football. So you look at Peyton Manning, and if I'm the Denver Broncos, of course I look at Peyton Manning. You can't just say Tim Tebow, yes, he took us to the playoffs. Tim Tebow, yes, won a lot of great games and a lot in miracle fashion in a lot of ways. But the reality is the Denver Broncos are not truly sold on Tim Tebow. John Elway is not truly sold on Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is not John Elway's guy. So he's not sold on Tim Tebow. So the reality is he's going to look at whoever he can look at to replace this guy. And if Peyton Manning is out there, that's an upgrade over Tim Tebow. That is an upgrade over Tim Tebow. So, I mean, obviously he went there. Apparently they had a six-hour meeting, talked again to John Elway, talked to the coaches and staff and everything, had a six-hour meeting, and didn't work out. Apparently no contract was discussed or anything of that nature. But they just talked. He familiarized himself with Denver, the practice facilities, and things of that nature. So at this point, you know, he's doing his due diligence. Teams are doing their due diligence as well. But you wonder, will teams actually sign this guy without a workout? Will they sign him without a workout? And obviously he has to pass the physical. But the reality is that you get the sense that teams will sign this guy without a workout. Teams will sign this guy without a workout. So, obviously, like I said, he's got to pass the physical, but he's going to get money. He's going to get paid. I think Peyton Manning's going to get paid. I truly think this guy is going to get paid because the market, the demand is high for this guy. The demand is very high for Peyton Manning. Very high. The demand is very high for Peyton Manning. So I think he's going to get paid. I'm thinking a double-digit signing bonus. I'm thinking double-digit signing bonus. Especially if they like what they see in terms of the physical and everything. And obviously, you wonder if teams would still sign him if he fails a physical, but they're happy or they believe that he can ultimately get to that position or to that point where he will be healthy. So you wonder if that will be the case. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. You have arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League. And you could take, I think you could take two teams off the Peyton Manning list, and that is the Jets, who have extended Mark Sanchez. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Unbelievable, actually. I mean, this new deal includes $20.5 million in guarantees. And if he does all he needs to do, he can possibly make close to $58 million. Yes, I'm talking about Mark Sanchez. I'm talking about the Mark Sanchez who was horrible down the stretch for the New York Jets. Absolutely horrible down the stretch for the New York Jets. I'm talking about that Mark Sanchez. The Mark Sanchez who had a career-high 26 turnovers. Yes, that Mark Sanchez. That Mark Sanchez was extended by the New York Jets, and so the reality is the Jets are all in for at least two seasons for Mark Sanchez. They are all in for Mark Sanchez. $20.5 million in guarantees. $20.5 million in guarantees, and that's for 2012 and 2013, and an opportunity for $40.5 million more over the life of the contract. That's unbelievable. That's just flat out unbelievable that Mark Sanchez gets an extension. And from what I'm reading, what I hear, the Jets did reach out to Peyton Manning, but Peyton Manning really wasn't interested in playing in New York, playing in the same city that his brother plays in. Maybe they didn't want to take any publicity from his brother, but he wasn't interested in New York, and so they decided to go to Mark Sanchez and decided to wrap him up, give him an extension, and to basically tell the league and tell all of us that they're all in with Mark Sanchez. They are all in with Mark Sanchez. All in. And so you look at that, and you're surprised. First, you scratch your head first, and then maybe you say, you know what, maybe this will give the guy some confidence moving forward. Maybe they believe that if they show him that they really want him, if they show him that he's really in their future, excuse me, if he shows them that, then maybe – he'll play better. Maybe.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pizzerica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man Pauly G and Jeremy. Get it!
And we are getting it right now, getting it in. And I had to go to break there, struggling a little bit with this cold, but I'm fighting and I'm getting it through. But you look at it, and I say to myself, and it seems like to me, you know what? We believe in Mark Sanchez. We believe he is the guy moving forward. We believe that he can get us to the place that we want to be, and that is to a Super Bowl, and that is winning Super Bowl titles. They're all in. They are all in with Mark Sanchez. Surprise. It's definitely a surprise. It's definitely a surprise. I mean, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that at all. And I'm surprised. And I guess I'll go back to my proclamation and I'll still stick with this. I don't think the New York Jets can win a championship with Mark Sanchez as their quarterback, and I'm still not off of that yet. I haven't seen anything otherwise. There's nothing different out there.
Okay. Hey, what up? It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pizzerica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my...
And you're right. I mean, the reality is I cannot see how you can just – I mean, I guess the reality is the Jets are saying, you know what, Peyton's not going to come to us. Our best option, our best chance of winning is with Mark Sanchez. That's our best chance. That's our best option is Mark Sanchez. So they decided – to re-up him, a 3-year extension could be worth $58 million. But we know this, $20 million will be guaranteed in 2013 and 2012. So essentially, Mark Sanchez has 2 years to kind of get this right. And if he does get right, then it's a good situation for the New York Jets, and this is a good contract extension. If he doesn't, ultimately it's about championships. And you could argue that no other quarterback has had this type of pressure. You can argue that no other quarterback has had the type of pressure that he has had. I mean, he came into New York as a rookie, took him to the AFC title game, let the first two seasons. So from there, you know the pressure was going to be heavy on Mark Sanchez. You knew the pressure would be heavy on Mark Sanchez. But to give him now $20 million in guarantees for 2012 and 2013, and the possibility of him making $58.5 million seems crazy, seems ludicrous, and just seems just insane. But the reality is, it's a 2-year deal. After 2 years, the Jets can get rid of him. So you look at the 2 years at $20 million, guaranteed, $20.5 million guaranteed in this extension for Mark Sanchez. So we'll see what happens in those 2 years. We'll see what happens in those 2 years, but I don't think the Jets will win a championship with this guy. I just cannot see it. Let's bring in now 11-time Pro Bowler, newest member, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Willie Rowe. Willie, how are you, sir?
Listening to a little Ambrosia. I don't know nothing about that.
I actually do know, I actually know a little bit about that. I actually know a little bit about that, but you listen to late nights and early mornings?
I like listening to old school. Obviously it's just basically us saying, Paul, they're not going to make a move for Peyton Manning. Okay, if it's 2 years for $10 million per this guarantee, then. That's under the top guys. I mean, the franchise tag is $14 million. So, Mark Sanchez is taking the team to the AFC Championship 2 years. Last year, down year, he has regressed. We don't think Plaxico Burress will be back next year. They had some issues going on with the locker room and between him and his receiver last year, so that could have affected his performance some. So I'm not gonna sit here and bash Mark Sanchez. He's a good quarterback. He didn't perform as well last year, but he has played well in times. He just hasn't done it in the AFC Championship. So, you know, he's a young guy. You know, it's not a bad move. You got to give him a chance to see if he can get out of this before you totally give up on him, because they did draft him with a top 10 pick, and they have a lot invested in him. So. You know, look what Alex Smith did last year. He almost took the Niners to a Super Bowl, and before that, you know, he wasn't Mark Sanchez.
So you're okay with this?
I'm okay. I mean, for right now, I mean, he's been in the system, but the offensive coordinator did leave, correct?
Correct.
So you got a new who's the coordinator?
Tony Sparano, former coach of the Dolphins.
You got Sparano coming in, obviously. Obviously, Sparano has gone in, has met with Mark Sanchez, have watched a lot of tape on Sanchez, and thinks that in his system he can be good enough to win with a new system. So, and with the weapons they have. So if Sparano goes in there, watches film, and determines that he thinks Sanchez can be productive in it, and he won't turn the ball over, then and Sparano was a good coordinator. You know, when he was with the Cowboys and used the tight end a lot more also, then I think you know, you can't give up on a guy with a new coordinator coming in and a guy you drafted that's still a young quarterback. So
we'll see what happens. I mean, it's like you said, it's obvious that they did not have a shot at Peyton Manning, and they decided, you know what, we're going to stick with this guy. And in some respect, by giving him this extension, you may give the guy some confidence, and it may work for you.
Yeah, I think that's why they did it, to give him some confidence and make sure he's ready to play and knows that the team, he's not going anywhere for a couple of years. So it's a show of good faith. And they got it. Let's say he was playing at a very, very high level last year. He would have demanded, you know, $14, $15 million a year, which is a going rate for a starter, and they got him for cheaper with incentives. Okay. So it's a good deal. If he plays better the next 2 years, he's obviously going to make more than 10 a year. So if he performs at a higher level, then he gets paid more money. So I think it's a good deal for the team. I think it's a good deal for Sanchez.
And now, Willie, we saw this situation, Peyton Manning. One team that he did visit was the Denver Broncos. Talk with Elway, talk with the coaching staff. Obviously, Elway wants to upgrade from Tim Tebow. He's obviously not a fan of Tebow. Good fit for Peyton?
I'm not going to say upgrade from Tebow. I say Tebow's not going anywhere. He's still under his rookie deal. So Tebow has signed a 5-year deal when he got drafted. What's he been there, 2 years? So he's still got 2 years with the team. So I don't think Tebow's going anywhere. I think that obviously Peyton Manning is on the market. I still have my reservations with Peyton because he didn't play at all last year. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night when me and you were texting. The last guy that missed the whole year, he wasn't Peyton Manning. But look at Carson Palmer. He had his spots where he played pretty good for the Raiders, but you know, it's a different situation. The Raiders gave up way too much for Palmer, and he was not playing well toward the end of the year. So the fact that Peyton is a free agent and a team can give him so much money up front and maybe total it out to be $10 or $15 million on the total deal, I wouldn't give him more than 5 guaranteed to 10. Guaranteed, and a lot of that's the rest of that is going to be incentive based off his performance, and the years in the future are based off the performance. So really, Peyton is going to be under a 1-year deal to see how he comes off the neck injury. So to give him 10 to 15 million and see how he performs coming off a neck injury, I don't think that's too bad a risk. But you can't give it all to him up front.
Well, I'll say this: I think he's going to get a big time signing bonus, double digit. And I say that because the demand is out there for
not
him.
Not big double digits. Not big double digits.
Maybe not big double digits.
You can't give him more than what you can't pay him more than. This is my point to you, Paul. Whatever he gets total up for next year is not going to be more than the going rate for a top flight quarterback, which is $14, $15 million franchise tag. So if they give him $7, $8 million up front, and then they guarantee some money how he performs if he makes it through the season, then. Yeah, they can do it like that. But they can't. You can't give him more than that for a quarterback that's turning 36 this year that didn't even play at all last year. So let's be realistic about this.
Let's look at this whole situation. Peyton Manning, this is probably arguably the greatest free agent quarterback ever. Ever. And if he's healthy, you're talking about a guy who was a top five, if not arguably the best quarterback in the game before the four neck surgery.
Hold on, he's better than Brett Favre was when he was a free agent. Brett Favre was a free agent too, and he ended up getting released out of his contract before he went to Minnesota.
I think Peyton overall is a better quarterback than Brett Favre.
They both got one ring.
I think Manning's a better quarterback.
Okay, well, he don't have a better number.
Both of them had long.
He don't have a better number.
Both of them are big time. Were durable.
Well, he didn't throw. Peyton wasn't as durable as Brett Favre. Now let's not.
Not as durable, but
Brett Favre played
20 years.
Peyton
had a long streak too.
He didn't throw picks like Brett.
He had a long streak too.
Yeah,
he had a very long streak.
200. We're talking about Brett Favre had 300 and some.
No, I understand that, but he was equally as durable. I'm not saying he was. As durable. I mean, Favre is obviously the more durable quarterback. But
Favre is more
Manning,
durable than anybody in the quarterback in NFL history.
True.
Brett Favre Brett Favre is a gunslinger too. So I give you credit. I'm not gonna say that Peyton Manning was a better quarterback than Brett Favre. I'm gonna say he was more accurate than Brett Favre, and he wasn't as reckless as Brett Favre with the football.
But I will say at this point in his career, when Favre was a free agent and Manning was a free agent, taking out the injuries, I think Manning is a better quarterback.
But we do have the injuries.
we're going to take him out. We're going to assume that Peyton's going to be healthy. We're assuming that Peyton's going to be healthy.
You know what, Paul? I was thinking, I was like, oh, you know, the year I got hurt, okay, and it was just ACL meniscus. 2000, the year before that, we had beaten the Rams in the trilogy the first time, the day with the Super Bowl champs the year before. I tore my ACL meniscus the middle of the season. I had surgery toward the end of the year in November. And I'm thinking, man, I didn't have no calls. Well, and I was in a little different circumstance because I was under contract still. But still, I mean, it was, you know, I said I wanted to go to Denver. They didn't really make me an offer. But under Kansas City, I didn't really have any options. And I understand Peyton Manning is a free agent, but I'm just looking at it from a guy, and I went to 4 more Pro Bowls when I left New Orleans. But for a guy that hadn't played at all last year, and made $20 million, it's just, to me, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Hey, I tell you what, let's look at the list of all those other free agents and guys they cut from Indianapolis and see how many of them are going to be in demand, and they played last year.
I think what you're failing to miss about Peyton Manning, you're talking about a position in terms of the quarterback position where it's franchise quarterbacks are just not out there like that. I mean, you don't get an opportunity to get franchise quarterbacks every day. He's on the open market with an opportunity. You have an opportunity to go after this guy. That doesn't happen every day. He was a top five quarterback. At least top five, you can make arguments.
And the year, before he got hurt, what did he win, 10 games?
I think he won 10 games that year, last year. The year before he got hurt, they won 10 games. I think
he threw for over 4,000 yards, and he doesn't throw a lot of picks. He gets rid of the ball. Now, he's going to have to go to the right system where he can get rid of the ball like he did before. So, a lot of going to play in this. We know Peyton reads defense as well and plays well. I like Denver. I like Denver needs a receiver though. Denver needs a receiver. If we look at the teams, Paul, Denver. I like Arizona has Fitzgerald. Denver has. I don't know. I think Denver probably has a better line. If it's me and it's Peyton, I'm leaning toward more warm weather. I don't know Miami. They played better last year at the end of the year.
They did.
But
they
well. I think it fits in. Would you go to Miami, Arizona, or would you want to deal with Denver? I think Denver is better defense. Obviously, way better defense. And if you put Peyton in the mix with them, I think they could be good, but if I'm 36 years old, I think I need to change the scenery. I mean, it's hard to leave South Beach and leave Miami or maybe go to Arizona and play indoors.
If you talk about indoors, well, Paul, and what about Seattle then? I mean, why not a smaller market, a guy like Pete Carroll, who offensively, I mean, is no slouch, who I'm sure would love to get his hands on a 35-year-old Peyton Manning with an established run game, a pretty good offensive line, pretty good defense, and they're indoors. So he really is just going from the Midwest to the West.
Well, Seattle's outdoors, but you're right. I was surprised, Jeremy, when they gave Travis Jackson even made him the franchise quarterback. I mean, obviously he couldn't get it done in Minnesota.
Well, I mean, I think the best spot for him, if you really want to look at it, I think the Chiefs are a decent spot for him. They got a good defense. They got some weapons there with Jamal Charles and Dwayne Bowe on the offensive side of the ball. Defense is pretty good. I think the Chiefs is not really a bad option for Peyton. If you want to look at the Chiefs.
But the problem with the Chiefs is they got two quarterbacks. You can't pay Kyle Orton $10 million or pay Castle the money and bring in Peyton. I mean, they gotta make sure they get paid before they let one of those guys go. They got, you're not sure. It's a difference between him going to Denver with a quarterback that's 5 years, $10 million, that's got $2 million on the books, going to the Chiefs where he got a quarterback with $10 million.
And isn't that the same problem in Arizona though? I mean, they don't have two quarterbacks, but they just gave Cole a boatload of cash, and what, are they going to sit him for 2 years? So this is like, that would be the end of the Cole era.
But you look at the Chiefs are in good shape salary cap-wise. They got a lot of cap space.
Yeah, but and the Chiefs could. The Chiefs haven't locked Orton up either. So I agree with Jeremy. I think Seattle would be a good fit for him. Let's narrow it down to four teams right now. Seattle should be in the mix. Somebody's going to come in the mix late and make a run at them. Seattle, Kansas City, Denver, Miami would be the four top teams, I would think. They have pretty good personnels that he could take to the next level.
I would agree with that. And like you said, I think there's obviously going to be a surprise team that's going to come into this thing. We don't know
and
who that may be, but there will be
a
surprise.
Paul, it's going to be the New York Jets, and I'll tell you why. And everyone knows.
Not now. The Jets
why
can't.
Not?
They just signed Mark.
So they just gave a little more $10 million, Jeremy. How are you going to be Jets?
I'm in the pool with my kids. I didn't even. We were at Chop this morning with a bad ear, but. I have to tell you, I thought for Peyton Manning going into New York would have been it.
Well, I mean, maybe, but the reality is it's off the table at this point.
They just gave Sanchez two-year deal, $20 million, Jeremy.
Wow.
So you know he signed a new extension today, last night I believe, and so reality is they have handed the keys of their franchise to Mark Sanchez for at least two seasons. So the Jets are not in the mix.
Now, did he have a year left on his deal, Paul?
Sanchez, yeah. I believe he had a couple years left on it.
So if it's a two-year deal, then it's an extension. So he has an extra plus two. He's got 3 years left.
It's an extension, but the reality is
it's a three-year deal then. This one plus two.
The guaranteed money is really in the first 2 years. After that, they can really just get rid
of the deal. Of the deal, but that kicks in after this year. So it's this year that guaranteed money for that next deal is two more plus one. So he's got three. He's got this one plus two more with the team.
But the guaranteed money is going to be for this year and next year. The guarantees are in 2012 and 2013. After that, they can get rid of him.
Okay.
So it's basically a two-year deal. It is a three-year extension, but the guarantees are in the first 2 years in 2012 and 2013 for $20.5 million. So,
and he's going to earn some incentives if he plays well. So
he
could end up making maybe 12, 13, 14 a year. Good. I think it's a good deal. I think, Sparano, you got a new coordinator, and obviously, Sanchez has shown some flashes. Sometimes, throughout his career, he has played good up there sometimes. So I think it's a good fit for both to see what he can do before you totally give up on the guy. You got to, when you draft him in the top 10, you got to really give him a chance because he hasn't played bad. He's played good at times. He's been a little sporadic. Last year was not a good year for the team. We can't blame it all on Sanchez because we had some problems going on with that team. So. I think he deserves it. I think that's good for both of them.
Well, I mean, and to your point, if he turns out to be the franchise guy that you think he will be, then it's a good contract for both sides. It's a good contract. So, I mean, and the reality is he's still young. I don't think he'll get it done, but he is still young. So he still has time to get it right, still has time to get better and grow with some of the weapons that he does have on the offensive side of the ball and moving forward. So we'll see. We'll see with Mark Sanchez. But Peyton Manning, and looking at Peyton Manning now, Willie, I mean, you talked about Tebow and saying that basically Tebow could stay. I don't think Tebow can stay. I think if you bring in Peyton Manning, you have to move Tebow on because you don't want that distraction that you may have with the fan base. Just say Peyton does start off a little slow. You don't want that distraction of Tebow being there. So I think you have to move Tebow on. I think you have to change.
I don't agree with that. What if Peyton goes out there and he's not Peyton the vote and he's not playing well? Then they have the option to go back to Tebow. And Tebow, has been busting his butt out here in L.A., working with a quarterback coach, and he's got a lot of upside. So Jeremy, do you think they got to move
Tebow?
No, T-Bow?
I was going to say, I completely agree. The bottom line, here's the thing, and the bottom line, with he's so young and he's very unestablished, Tebow. So what that means essentially is you certainly have the ability to go in and say to him, listen, this is a once – a guy like Peyton Manning, Paul, you've got to remember, a guy like Peyton Manning comes out, and this happens, you know, once in a blue moon. It doesn't – you don't get this every day. You don't get these opportunities to have a guy like Peyton Manning. So I don't know that I necessarily agree with the mindset you got to move a guy who's anointable startership with less than 3 months. I think you go to him and sit him down and say, listen, we have to do this. And if you can't understand that, we certainly – you know, we certainly apologize, but that being said, we're doing it.
And Paul, if you look at the history of quarterbacks like, excuse me, Jeremy, that have been in Peyton Manning's port in their career, he might get dinged up and need to sit down for a couple games. And it's a great luxury to have Tebow that has won and has some success to come in when he sits down, a la when Elway was up in his career, Bobby Brister, who was a starter, played a couple games for him. If you look at the history of some of the teams that have made runs, sometimes their backup has to start a couple games and they sit out a little bit. This isn't a Peyton Manning that was in Indy, and he might have to sit down a couple games.
But, again, I think what I think you guys are not realizing, and I think you're missing here, is Tebow is going to cause a distraction if Peyton Manning – Tebow's a very popular player and in a lot of ways a very polarizing figure. And so you look at Tebow, and if Peyton Manning doesn't get off to that great start, fans are going to want Tebow possibly to get in there. And so I don't think Peyton Manning needs that type of distraction.
The fans know how he threw the ball late in the year. He did not throw the ball well. He's learning.
And Paul, I got.
But he
this.
Didn't. But the reality but Paul, is the fans love Tim Tebow.
You can't
Paul,
move Tebow.
Let me say this, Paul. You got to be realistic. You ask. There is absolutely no chance when Peyton Manning steps on the field that he will do anything less than impress. I mean, you have to remember, you're talking about a quarterback who, even when he was a rookie, Peyton was a very – when you go through his career, that guy was a very impressive quarterback.
He was polished. He was good coming in the league.
I mean, you can argue, arguably, even before the injury, before the surgeries, arguably the best quarterback in the game. You can make that argument.
I don't see him – and as I say, I don't see Peyton coming in. I think will there be rust? Sure. But you got to remember, this is a guy who's a surgeon. And, I mean, at this point in his career, Paul, I think he has very well established himself – he reads defenses, third and defensive. Arguably, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. And theoretically, you'd say he'd be one of the best defensive coordinators the game's ever seen. I mean, considering he called his own plays for the majority of his career. So I don't see him coming in and it being an issue with the fans where, you know, here's a guy in Peyton Manning who's, you know, having problems. The only way he has some problems is if he's not very healthy.
But the reality
is, and that's the only way, Paul, and that's why we say you don't move Tebow. Because if you have a Peyton Manning that's not healthy, who are you going to have backing him up? I want a quarterback backing him up to keep playing.
How good of a quarterback do you think Tim Tebow actually is?
Paul, what did we say last year? We said he needed to go with a quarterback coach and get better. He's working on his throw mechanics twice a day. He's out here in L.A. training at UCLA. Tim Tebow is working to get better on his throw mechanics. I think Tebow can be a hell of a lot better. He couldn't throw the ball half the time last year, but the thing that Tebow can do, he can read defenses. And he read defenses last year. And when they covered him wrong and went to that man-to-man stuff, he picked him apart, Paul.
Well,
he can read the defense, and he got better as the year went on with his decisiveness during games.
You don't need that distraction. You don't need that circus that comes with Tim Tebow.
You need a backup quarterback.
Yeah, but the reality is Tim Tebow is – do you think Tim Tebow will be happy – in that particular situation.
I think he respects Peyton Manning and his resume. He will fall in line if Peyton Manning comes up to Denver. Believe me, Tim Tebow knows he has to fall in line. He has to respect what Peyton Manning has been able to do, and the fact that he can play with a guy and learn with a guy who has been that elite quarterback that can teach him how to understand these defenses better and teach him some things that he doesn't understand.
I just think you can't have that distraction there. I don't think you can have that distraction.
You're making it.
Stop for a second. John Elway, let's be clear about something. John Elway obviously is not the biggest fan of Tim Tebow. John Elway is not the biggest fan of this guy. I think that's very obvious. It's very evident.
Let's say this, Paul. If you told Tim Tebow to back up, you're not going to get nothing in the number two for him. So you're saying they're going to trade him for a second-round pick.
They won't get a second-round pick.
I'm saying a third-round pick.
You said they're going to give him away for a third-round pick.
I'm saying the Denver
fans are going to be more pissed if they give Tim Tebow away for a third-round pick. And let's say he goes somewhere and does turn into that quarterback. Those Denver fans are going to be pissed.
But the
you
reality
can't him. You're damned
look,
if you do, you're damned if you don't.
That's a
but
good
he,
point.
Well,
but you look at Peyton Manning, he's 36
this.
Years old. But if Peyton Manning comes back and playing like the Peyton Manning that we all know and love, then Tim Tebow may not even get a shot anyway.
How many years can Peyton Manning do it? Go ahead, Jeremy. How many years can he do it?
How many years will Tim Tebow want to wait? It's my question. A guy who has led a team to a playoff game, led a team to the playoffs, has won a playoff game, just as many playoff games as Tony Romo.
He's won as many playoff games as Tony Romo.
So this is a guy who has led a team to a playoff game and won a playoff game. So the reality is, how long will he wait? He's not going to wait 2 to 3 years.
Slow down. First of all, this is a guy who's on air with WWJD. He's a splurging virgin. This is a guy who's thinking that he is the anti NFL establishment player. And here's a guy who clearly comes in and is not saying the right things, he's doing the right things because he's Tiger Woods. I mean, unless we soon find out that, you know, he's some shyster who claims to be like a Jesus freak. This guy has clearly demonstrated, Paul, that all he wants to do is win. And again, you're not bringing in Tavares Jackson. You're not bringing in Matt Castle or Kyle Orton. You're not bringing in even a Michael Vick. You're bringing in Peyton Manning. I'm pretty sure, Paul, a guy who will recognize clearly, he comes in and spends 2 years or 1 year or 3 years of his career, which hasn't even started yet, underneath Peyton Manning. I think 99% of players would do what you said. I think a guy who walks into who literally stepped in shit this season and made a team believe in a quarterback who couldn't throw the ball 20 yards because he can win a game now gets the opportunity to study underneath essentially the greatest offensive quarterback the game's ever seen. There would be no part of Tim Tebow that would cry and complain. He's still getting paid. And most of all, Paul, he's being shelved at the height of his career for the best player in the league. Tim Tebow is not going to –
you could talk about Jesus till as many times as you want to talk about
Jesus.
So what
you're saying is his ego's too big then. You're saying that his ego's too big to sit there for one of the best quarterbacks in NFL.
I'm not saying ego. I'm saying he believes that he's a starting quarterback in the National
Football
League.
Not over Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning
is healthy. I would agree with that, but I think he has proven to some level, to some degree, that he is a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And I don't think he is willing to wait 2 to 3 years.
Aaron Rodgers waited.
But that's different. I think that's a different situation, though. That's a different situation. Aaron Rodgers, to that point, had never stepped on the field and proven that he was anything. He didn't prove anything, really. He didn't play. So Tim Tebow has played. Tim Tebow has led a team to the playoffs. Tim Tebow has won a playoff game.
No matter how he got there,
he got there and he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers through 316 yards against the number one ranked defense in football in the playoff game and won the playoff game. So this is a guy who's not going to wait 2 to 3 years.
Well,
and
why,
plus,
well, why
you look at it, you look at it also, it's very, like I said before, Elway does not believe in him. John Fox really doesn't believe in him. So the reality is Tim Tebow, if he's not a starter there, will not be there if Peyton Manning comes.
Well, then why
I don't think
he
does. I think they trade Peyton
working?
Manning. Tim Tebow.
Why would he work with a quarterback coach? Why would he be doing all – if he believes he's this great starter, Paul, and he believes that he's this anointable person, why would he be changing the way –
That's very obvious.
Well,
I've been at
UCLA for the last 2 months, for the last month and a half, working out twice a day, Paul, if he thinks he's a polished quarterback.
No, I'm not saying he thinks he's a polished quarterback, but I think he thinks he's an NFL starting quarterback.
He is.
Well, I think
he
believes
will
that.
Be. He will be.
Paul,
he has a chance to be.
Do you see Aaron?
Yeah, so my point is, if Peyton Manning comes there, if you have that, Tebow will be a distraction. Even if he says, I'm going to just, you know, learn under Peyton Manning, so on and so forth. The reality is, last year with Kyle Orton, look at last year with Kyle Orton, and granted, Kyle Orton is not Peyton Manning. But when all these things were coming out, all these billboards, all these different things, you never heard Tebow come out and say,
I got one reason why they won't trade Tebow. Do you know how much money the Denver Broncos probably made off Tim Tebow stuff last year?
You think they're
going to trade from a marketing standpoint and merchandise? If Peyton plays well for them, great, great. If Peyton goes down and Tebow has to play a little bit, great. It's too much. Tebow was generating so much income for the NFL and for the Denver Broncos last year. If you don't get a good pick, you can't trade him. He makes too much money for your franchise.
If Peyton Manning comes to Denver, you know how many 18 jerseys will be sold? Granted, number 18 is actually retired for the Denver Broncos, so whatever number he gets. But the reality is, you know how many Peyton Manning jerseys will be sold because of that?
Tim Tebow will not have
the same type of effect because Tim Tebow will be a backup quarterback.
He will once he starts starting again.
Is he going to wait two to three years? He's not going to wait two to three years.
In two to three years, he's going to start some games because Peyton won't play the whole 2 or 3 years without going down.
You know why you're nuts, Paul? Here's why you're really nuts, and I'm sure Willie will say again. I agree. You're acting as if Tim Tebow is an NFL. There is no one, I think, in the entire NFL bigger than Tim Tebow. Imagine, Paul, what happens is if they pass on Peyton Manning, because Tim Tebow says, if you do this, I want out of here, and he becomes the Tim Tebow the NFL saw the last, let's say, will be in the NFL playoff. A guy who clearly, when you play him like an NFL caliber quarterback, he will implode. And so you are making no sense when clearly his agent would have come to him. The Broncos organization, like Willie just said, they'll just throw $5 million his way. They will just say to him, listen, we want you to keep selling jerseys for us. So keep playing this Jesus shit up because everyone seems to like
Jesus,
it.
Jesus stuff.
What do you mean? I mean, Willie, you know as well as I do, Willie.
He's making $4 or $5 million off the field anyway, so he's making good money. Paul, this is the thing. Even if he's not the starting quarterback, he's still got his endorsements. He's still going to make, you know, millions off the field because he's Tim Tebow. So for right now, they don't have to address his contract, and they can let him sit back and learn. And I will say, even if Peyton Manning is the starting quarterback in 3 years, Tebow starts some football games for them. So it's a win-win situation because Tebow's going to step in and play some because I don't think Peyton Manning goes the next 2 or 3 years. First of all, we're going to see how he comes off this next situation if he can play. Second of all, even if he plays, he's going to miss a few games.
But the thing is, you guys are I think you guys are discounting the distraction that Tim Tebow he was a distraction.
He's not
going to
be a distraction.
He was a distraction last year as a backup quarterback.
The
reality is, he is going.
No, he was not a distraction. The media was. You're flip flopping. He was not a distraction.
He was a distraction. You didn't see him come out and say anything that, oh, yes, I'm going to stick by Kyle Orton. He's the starting quarterback of the team. No, Tim Tebow was quiet.
Whatever. Paul, I got to tell you. So you're going to tell me, and you're going to tell me, first of all, I'm sorry. I think again, it's your mindset that the bottom line is if a franchise, for example, then also by your notion, Paul, Kansas City can't house a guy like Peyton Manning because they got Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton and Matt Castle do not. You can't compare the two. It's not a comparable thing.
Why?
Kyle Orton and Matt Castle do not have the same type of notoriety. They're not as popular as Tim Tebow. It's not a comparison.
But Tim Tebow is not the quarterback Peyton Manning was. So he's got to fall in the line, Paul. Look at
he's
the resume.
Gonna
he's going to respect
gonna,
the resume of Peyton
he's
Manning.
He's not going to fall. Don't you think of some respect? You look at it. Elway and those guys. You don't think in some respect he felt a little disrespected by those guys? Those guys,
yeah,
no matter
he felt
what.
He feels disrespected. That's why
he's
better
than
his brother right now.
The reality is, if I'm the Denver Broncos,
won't happen.
Tim Tebow with Peyton Manning is signed.
Paul, you're not answering the question then that Willie and I said, which is you just say, Matt Kyle Orton couldn't coexist with little Miss Tim Tebow, and you're saying Kyle Orton will just say, oh, well, it's Peyton Manning. How can Kyle Orton say that, who couldn't coexist in Denver, but you're saying Tim Tebow, who goes on air and says, I don't really care if I'm a starter. I'm rooting for Kyle Orton. He's our man. I mean, like, the facts show that the guy that can coexist is Tim Tebow. The facts show that the guy that couldn't coexist is Kyle Orton. Yet you project him having a better chance of going to KC because there's no quarterback issues. There's
Matt Castle, I'm not talking about on the field. I'm talking about popularity. Matt Castle and Kyle Orton are not Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks anyway. But I'm talking about in terms of popularity. Tim Tebow, he's going to be a distraction if he's on the bench. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think the reality is, in my opinion, if I look at this whole situation, Tim Tebow, if Peyton Manning does struggle, will be a distraction. So the reality is, I do not think
Let's make a bet. If Peyton Manning goes, me and Jeremy betting you right now, if Peyton Manning goes to Denver Broncos next year, Tim Tebow will be on that roster. And I'm willing to bet you that right now.
And I will take that bet because I know
we'll take the bet.
We
agree to disagree then.
And that's fine. That's fine. We will agree to disagree, Willie. And moving on now, as we agree to disagree, we kind of pinpointed the four teams that we think Peyton Manning will go to. And he wants to get this done in about a week. So with all that being said, Willie, if you were going to make a prediction, where do you see Peyton Manning landing?
Denver. Top two teams, Denver,
I need
Miami.
One.
Denver,
I
Miami.
Need one.
Denver, Miami.
That's two teams. We need one.
You know, well,
Miami.
Exactly. He goes to Miami. He, and the only reason why he goes to Miami, I'll tell you who gave that away, was I think Reggie Wayne really kind of let the cat out of the bag there.
Well, I mean, they may be a package deal, regardless of where Miami. Denver.
You know why? You know why he goes to Miami? You know why?
Well,
he wants to play.
He has a home in Miami. He has a home in Miami.
Oh, he does.
He does.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he wants to play the Golden Boy twice a year.
Mark Sanchez.
I think if he went to Seattle, it's a weaker division other than the 49ers, but I don't think he wants to go up that far up on the East Coast. If he has a home in Miami, then he wants to play down there. He gets to play the Sanchez, but he gets to play the Golden Boy twice a year. No, the Golden Boy is Tom Brady.
And I actually think if you're Peyton, the Falcons make a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's way warmer climate. for him. And I look at it and think, too, they certainly, and I agree with Paul, I see them making that package deal, putting a package deal in place. And with Brandon Marshall, I think what Reggie Wayne said is 1,000% true. That would be amazing to watch.
And another thing, Paul, no state tax.
That's a good point.
Ooh.
But he's made enough money, but I guess in reality you can never make enough money. And speaking of money and guys doing things to get money, the whole Saints bounty thing, they met with Greg Williams on Monday, the league office. I mean, some people believe that Sean Payton will get suspended. Some people believe Greg Williams will get a lengthy suspension. Some people believe some players will be suspended. Some people believe that draft picks will be taken away from the New Orleans Saints. How do you see this thing playing out, Willie, with this whole bounty thing?
You know what, Paul? I think they've blown it out of proportion. I was thinking about it after we talked. And when we heard that going on, that stuff kind of going on, it was more for special teams guys because they weren't making – that kind of money. You know, you might give a guy that went down and busted a wedge and made a big tackle, extra couple $100, or this guy a big hit or something. But it was more for the guys that weren't making money on the team. It wasn't for guys that were making $5, $6, $7 million. What's $1,000 the guy that's going to motivate him for when he's getting a check for $400,000 every week or two? So, yeah. I think the Greg Williams has the bounty thing going on or whatever, but I don't think every week it's paid out. You know, if guys don't knock anybody out and do stuff like that, I mean, the bounty's not getting paid out. You know, I don't think it's getting paid out all the time. You know, I think the only thing was, you know, our deal was more players that were doing it, just saying, look, man, you go down and make a big hit, you know, I'm going to give you a couple $100 here, there, or whatever. I think the problem the Saints have is it was organized by the head coach, and the only reason the NFL knew about it is because he was doing other places. And the thing that they have to be worried about for the team is they came to him before 2009 and told him not to do it. And obviously the league and the commissioner had an inside track on the fact that he was still doing it, and I think that's why they're going to come down on the Saints, because they went to him and told him not to do it because he had a history of doing it, and he did it anyway.
And I think you look at it, I think Williams is going to pay. I think the Saints might pay with some draft picks. And I think Sean Payton might
get and a fine. Draft picks and a fine.
You think it's going to be draft picks and a fine then?
And a fine.
Nothing more. You don't think Williams gets suspended or
I think Williams gets suspended maybe the whole year. Go ahead, Jeremy.
You're a player. You had mentioned this last week. From a realistic standpoint, I mean, is he being made out to be a scapegoat? I mean, the same thing that happened in New England with Belichick. Like, this stuff, when you talk to most players, established players, everyone keeps kind of downplaying this. And it's like, and so what? We all know about this. But I guess my question is, well, if it's so widely known and so widely accepted, then why isn't there now the NFL commissioner who just gets $20 million, he's making $20 million a year, and he's so this is so objectionable. How come we're not saying, you know what, this is the bounty clause of the NFL?
You know why? Because the only reason it's a couple reasons why it's a big deal. First of all, they got all these lawsuits with guys with concussions right now that are up right now, and it's toward all stuff. So they have all the lawsuits, and this technically helps those lawsuits. Second of all, we're trying to change it and change all these rules about hitting guys and knocking guys out in the NFL. But the main reason why the commission is all upset about it is because they went to Greg Williams two years ago and told him they knew about him doing it, and he still did it anyway. And obviously the team knew about it, you know, knew that he was doing it. So, you know, it's just like when Michael Vick went to the league and said, no, Commissioner, I wasn't doing it. And they go to Greg Williams and say, we told you not to do it, and you did it anyway. So that's why I think the commissioner comes down hard on him, is because he did it when they went to him two or three years ago and said, don't. go to New Orleans and do this crap you've been doing with these other teams and having this stuff that you were doing with Buffalo and that you did in Washington, because we know you did it, and we're trying to protect the safety of the players. And if you got a bounty thing going out here, then it's totally going against them trying to protect the safety of the players, and the fact that Sean Payton, any head coach knew what was going on, because these head coaches know about everything. You know, they're control freaks. So that's why they come down hard on the Saints, because of the fact they had the nerve to have it, which I don't think a lot of teams, you know, have it like that organized. The fact that they had an organized bounty thing, whatever you want to call it, and the fact that the team, knew about it, and they have these lawsuits right now. You know, it doesn't look good when the commissioner of the NFL goes in with a lawsuit and they can bring up the fact they got a bounty or trying to knock people out of the games and these guys in there for concussions. It doesn't look good with the league.
And I think that's a fair point. And I think the reality is, because of that, I think the Saints, like you said, will pay with draft picks and will pay with fines, and Greg Williams may pay with a lengthy suspension. So to that point, I think I agree with you. I mean, you have to. If you want to talk PR, from a PR standpoint.
From a PR standpoint right now, the way it's exploded, Jeremy and Paul, from a PR standpoint for the league, they got
to
come down hard on the Saints.
So
and the commissioner with his track record is going to come down with the hammer on them.
No, you got to. You got to come down hard with this particular situation. You have to. And we'll see how that transpires, but you have to come down hard if you are Roger Goodell in the National Football League. So we'll see what happens moving forward with this, and we'll see what happens moving forward with Peyton Manning, Willie. Peyton Manning said this will be done in a week. So if it's
going to be done in a week, you know what that tells me, Paul? He's already pretty much decided where he's going to go.
Exactly.
He's going to make a few visits. He knows where he's going.
Well, you figure he's probably going to visit Arizona. He's probably going to visit Miami, the Chiefs also. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see.
I just don't see him going to Kansas City. They got Romeo Cornell. I don't see Kansas City being one of his top options. I see Miami, Denver, Miami, and Arizona. And I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Seattle even thinking about interviewing Peyton Manning.
And we'll see. I mean, obviously Seattle, you would think ideally would be involved, but like you said, you haven't heard Seattle's name being mentioned in terms of the sweepstakes. You, like you said, the main players is you've been hearing is in the Dolphins and you heard the Redskins, but obviously the Redskins are out of the mix as well after trading with the St. Louis Rams and getting they're definitely going to select RG3. So
I think that's
they're
a great move for them too. I think that's a great move for them.
That's a good move. That's a good move. I mean, you gave up a lot, but the reality is, if you believe he's a franchise quarterback, then that solves your quarterback issues for the next 10 years. So the reality is, if you believe he is that guy, then you have to make that type of move, and that is the move that the Redskins made. Willie, as always, sir, we enjoy your time here. Appreciate you. Let's do this again next week. And
I'm headed to the gym right now, too, Paul. Remember that. I'm headed to the gym.
Was playing a little basketball yesterday, getting up and down the court.
Oh, really? You were playing a little basketball?
So, and I felt my speed actually was
still there. How you need to today?
They feel great. You know, I feel fine. The back is fine. The knees are fine. Everything is great. I feel 100%.
Full court, half court?
Full court. 94
feet.
94 feet up and down.
With a 10-year-old, Willie.
Full court, Paul. You shouldn't have said you play full court basketball.
Full court, 94 feet. You know what I mean? Right now I'm still struggling with a cold. I'm still suffering with a cold right now, but
Willie,
I still battle through.
Will you ever play with a cold, Will?
No, I don't remember playing with a cold unless I had to play a game with a cold. I wasn't going out there playing no basketball with a cold, Paul. That sounds a little bit sounds like you might be telling a story.
There's no story. I was out there. This is a true story. True story. Maybe I should took pictures so you could believe it.
Paul, Jeremy. So, Jeremy, think about the bet we have. If he goes to Denver, Tim Tebow staying with the team, it's got to be a nice bet, Jeremy. So remember, Paul's the man of his word on this show today. The date that Paul, that Jeremy and I say Tim Tebow stays with Peyton Manning. Paul disagrees. We think he stays.
Tim Tebow. Definitely. Take care, Willie. Have fun at the gym because you're going to need it if you want to beat a guy like myself.
All right, Dan. Talk to you guys later.
Stop it, Paul.
All right. 11-time Pro Bowler, newest member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Willie Rolfe, and it was very interesting to get his take on this whole Peyton Manning thing. And we'll see what happens. I mean, this is a compelling story because, like I said before, the reality – and this is March Madness time, and no one's really talking about March Madness as much as they're talking about this Peyton Manning. We got another March Madness about to start, and that is the free agency period that is days away. So that is the March Madness right now that a lot of people are talking about, and a lot of people are talking about Peyton Manning and some of the great things that is going on there, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Where does Peyton go? Does he go to Denver? Does he go to Miami? Does he go to Kansas City? Where does he go? And I said this earlier in the show, and I'll repeat it. If you're a franchise, if you don't have, other than having a quarterback like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, maybe you can make a case for Matthew Stafford. Other than having those type of quarterbacks, if you don't have a Brees, a Manning, a Rodgers, a Brady, as far as I'm concerned, you need to at least look at it, at least discuss it. You have to at least discuss it, whether you decide to go with Peyton Manning or whether you want to sign him. You at least have to discuss it. And I think the reality is I think teams are discussing, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to those four teams that we mentioned earlier. And what happens? We'll see what happens, and we'll see with Peyton Manning how much he has left. We'll see in terms of a rust factor with Peyton Manning. We'll see what he can do. I believe Peyton Manning has a lot of football left. If he's healthy, and I think he will be healthy. And I think teams believe that he's healthy. Otherwise, why would they bother?
Paul, you and I think you agree. And I don't think Peyton Manning is the kind of guy who's coming back, certainly not coming back for money. Certainly, I mean, is he coming back because he thinks he has something to prove? And so could that be a factor? I think that's probably the greatest risk. And I think that's always a risk when you look at quarterbacks and the like. But when you really do take a look at this, to sit there and believe that right now Peyton Manning isn't going to come in and be honest and think that he can play, not know that he can play, I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning knows that he can play right now, and I believe that. I think Peyton Manning knows that he can play. I think it was just, as they say, a lemony snicket, a very unfortunate series of events. The Colts had to do something that I think was in their best interest, and I think – you know, unfortunately, Peyton Manning was the odd man out, but I feel like he knows he can establish himself. I mean, I think a team like Miami would be a great fit. I really believe probably the overall best fit would be the Arizona Cardinals, but I just think to do that and just a year away or 2 years removed from Cobb, I mean, that's unfortunately, there's probably a lot of cap issues that were precluded. It would be great in theory, but maybe not again in practice. And then there is Denver, but you see the heated debate that we have, and here again, I mean, if we're having that debate, I'm sure you know the higher ups in Denver can't just be sitting there saying, "Oh, let's do this," without there being severe repercussions.
Well, I don't really think there's much of a debate. If you have an opportunity to get Peyton Manning, it's Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning. So if you have an opportunity to get Peyton Manning, I don't think you debate whether or not Tim Tebow or Peyton Manning. I mean, that Tim Tebow pales in comparison to Peyton Manning. So I don't think there's really a comparison there. I don't think they're debating that part of it, really. I think what we are debating truly is whether or not Tim Tebow would still stay in Denver if Peyton Manning was to come to Denver. And I don't think that would be the case. But let's bring in now, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk NBA basketball. We're going to talk some Lakers basketball with actor, one of the stars of AMC's The Killing, the one, the only, Eric Layden. Eric, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me. You got rapping a little Peyton Manning here?
We did rap a little Peyton Manning, talked a little Peyton. What's your thoughts on it?
Somebody's going to get lucky, man. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Whichever NFL team is, you know, poised to make that run and is just, you know, needs the QB. You know, the weird thing about that situation, I think, honestly, is that, you know, they're not really interviewing him. You know, I mean, it's kind of a reverse deal. He's going around,
right.
He's interviewing them, and, you know, Peyton will pick the best spot. I actually was talking a little bit with one of my buddies about my Houston Texans because, you know, that's kind of an interesting situation. They're probably, if they did get into the mix, be the front runner. But, you know, I don't know if that's something that they'd want to do or not.
And you talk about the Houston Texans, and a lot of people I hear saying, you know, the Texans, they're a team that got to the second round of playoffs with a third-string quarterback. And so I think they're pretty confident in their quarterback situation, the situation with their team in general. But I would agree, Peyton Manning, if you have an opportunity to get a Peyton Manning, I think at least you look at it. You definitely have to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Houston Texans, you think you do that?
You have to look at it. You definitely have to look at it. I mean, because Matt Schaub is a very good quarterback, yes. But Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning.
Right.
And so, you know, that's Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well,
so
it would be kind of sweet to you know, be able to play the Colts twice a year with Peyton Manning at the helm. You know, that would be pretty sweet for him.
That is true. That is true. That would be interesting. we'll see if that situation happens. I don't see that happening. But again, if you have an opportunity at Peyton Manning, you have to at least discuss it. You have to at least look at it.
I agree.
Speaking of discussing things, let's discuss your Lakers right now. Eric, I remember speaking to you, I believe this was in the summer, I think it was a week after they hired Mike Brown, and you weren't really the happiest of guys about that move. 40 games later, how do you feel?
You know, I'm still not thrilled with the move. I mean, you know, like we discussed a year ago, he's a defensive-minded coach, and you can see that. Their defense has definitely improved, but they just kind of don't have an identity on offense. When you watch them play, they're just luckily I've been in Canada and I can't watch every game, which is probably better for my heart. But, you know, you watch them play and the offense just, you know, is kind of anemic. And, you know, just it goes on these, you know, one game you watch them and offensively they just look great. And other days they look like, you know, they don't even know where they are on the court. So,
right.
And that was the same. I mean, Cleveland under Mike Brown had a terrible offense. They had a terrible offense. So, you know, I think that has a lot to do with it. And obviously I think a lot of it has to do with the players and their mindset.
And looking at it, and the reports came out this week that the players were not very confident in Mike Brown's X's and O's. Is that a little troubling for you to hear something like that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, excuse me, you always want, you obviously want your guys to be confident in the coach, but I don't know, you know, I think the coach has to at the same time instill that confidence in the players, you know, and if he's not delivering X's and O's wise, then, you know, these are grown men getting paid a lot of money, some of them most of them more than Mike Brown. So you know, I think it's difficult, and it's difficult, you know, they've changing a system they've had for a long time.
Right. And you look at it, and to me, I look at the Lakers, and this whole thing for me went wrong the moment that the Chris Paul trade was nixed by Commissioner David Stern. You had Lamar Odom, who was disgruntled, and ultimately they moved him on for some Jolly Ranchers to the Mavericks, and then you have Gasol, who has not been the same. Your thoughts, did the season turn? Well, the season didn't even start, but did the season go wrong at that point, the moment that Chris Paul was not going to be a Laker?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, that's not really the front office's fault. And, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. That's not the front office's fault. It looked for a minute there that that they were actually going to try to make a move, you know, to help out. And then when the NBA kiboshed that, which was, you know, is a whole different discussion because it's a conflict of interest, and I think it's a joke. But when they did, you know, the move for Odom is just head-scratching. I mean, just because a guy is disgruntled, for God's sake, you don't, you know, like you said, trade him for a bag of beans and get nothing in return. I mean, he was your he's your number one bench player, sixth man of the year, and the reason that the you know the Lakers had the depth that they did, and all of a sudden you went from you know a deep team with depth and a leader in the second floor or second team to a team that has absolutely no depth. And, you know, that's going to kill your chances at a run.
And to me, he was the guy, like you said, he was the guy that made them special. His versatility, his size, and the things that he can do. They miss it. They miss it big time.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're bringing, you know, Josh McRoberts, Troy Murphy on the floor? Come on. I mean, Troy Murphy, he makes me look like I could play in the NBA.
I mean, you're right. I mean, it's not a good situation with the Los Angeles Lakers right now. We're talking to Eric Layden, one of the stars of AMC's The Killing, which airs and it's going to premiere April 1st, so make sure you check that out. And right now, you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, the trade deadline is coming up March 15th. Gasol has been linked to a number of trades, and at this point, he doesn't seem very happy. He has not been himself. Do you think the Lakers keep Gasol at this point?
You know, you just don't – I don't know. I mean, you don't know. Jim Buss is just a clown, you know? And, I mean, he's it's almost as if he's doing all this stuff just to kind of flush the entire last era out and kind of start this new era under him. And which would kind of make you think, yeah, let's blow it up, let's get rid of Gasol and try to bring somebody else in. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, they would have done that already. And honestly, they need a one. You know, they've got to get a point guard.
Right.
Otherwise, they're just not going to be able to compete with the other guys in the league. The crazy thing is, you know, right before the break with Ron Artest or Meta World Peace, whatever he is today, with him playing better, you know, and you know, offensively being able to, you know, give them some points, the team looked like, oh, okay, this is a team that can make a run. I mean, not win at all, but they can make a run. And, you know, but he's so inconsistent. And at the end of the day, I just don't know how you're going to compete with, you know, with Oklahoma City or Miami or any of those guys without a one guard. I mean, we'll see tomorrow when Rondo's on the floor, you know, what happens. So, I mean, unless they get a one, I don't know. I mean, the Dwight Howard trade to me is pointless.
So you wouldn't be happy with
the trade.
You wouldn't be happy with Dwight Howard, arguably the best center in the game of basketball.
I don't think that's the play. I think we give up. I mean, it's not going to be an even trade for Bynum, and so you know we have the number two center in the league, and.
Okay.
You know, so I don't think the gap between, you know, the centers is our issue. I think that it's, you know, I think that it's at a different position. We need a one, need a three, but you know, I don't know who's out there that we can get, you know. I mean, we're not gonna get Rondo. They're not gonna, you know, it would take six teams to agree on that trade, and that's not gonna happen. So
I know there was talk about Ramon Sessions from the Cavaliers, decent point guard. Gilbert Arenas is out there. Apparently they worked him out, but they didn't sign him. So obviously they're really not impressed with what they saw there. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, they do need a one. So you're basically saying you would be more happy with – you would rather have CP3 over a Dwight Howard.
Oh, gosh, no doubt, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, that's a game changer. You know what I mean? I mean, then all of a sudden – look at our front court. Bynum and Gasol – And you know, if you have Meta or whoever's out there at the three, I mean, and then you have Kobe at the two, I mean, you add a point guard into that, that's a pretty dangerous team right there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't answer any of the depth issues, but, you know, it's like, you know, you got to have a guy lead. I mean, Kobe can't bring the ball up anymore. I mean, he turns the ball over, you know, all day. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, the main concern is finding a point guard to compete with Westbrook and Rondo and those guys.
And looking at Kobe, Wednesday night against the Washington Wizards, 9-for-31 from the field. I mean, Kobe's shooting a lot this year. Do you think he's shooting
too much?
Yeah,
he's trying to get the title. Yeah, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Kobe's trying to get the scoring title. You know, that's what he wants. Whether he says it or not, that's what he wants. And, you know, as much as I love Kobe, you know I do, I think that, you know, that's one of the main issues is his relationship with Bynum. And, I mean, when they pound the ball inside, they can beat anybody. You know,
okay.
I mean, he's great. But I just, you know, you've got a guy, you know, superstar and arguably one of the best to ever play the game. And, you know, I think the mentality of him right now is still not ready to defer to other players, even if it means, you know, possibly getting him his sixth ring. I just don't know if, you know, I don't know if he's mentally there yet. We'll see.
And you look at Kobe, he surpassed Shaq, number 5 all-time in the NBA in scoring. Is Kobe the greatest Laker of all time? A lot of talk about this.
Yeah, somebody asked me that the other day. You know, it's so tough. That's such a tough question. I mean, especially for me, because I didn't, you know, I didn't get to watch all the Lakers play. That's so difficult.
Right.
I would say him and Magic are right there. I mean, the only reason I kind of defer to Kobe as being maybe the greatest of all time is when you have Magic endorse him, who's in the discussion himself, you know, then you kind of say, all right. I'll go with that. I think it's a coin flip.
I would agree. I mean, it's hard to argue against Kobe, but it's also hard to argue against Magic. Even Kareem, you have to throw him in that mix.
And, oh, Kareem for sure.
Yeah, you definitely have to throw him in that conversation. But that's a difficult thing to say. Who is the greatest Laker of all time? That's hard. It's a hard thing to say. It's just like saying who's the greatest Celtic. So many great Celtics, so many great Laker players. I mean, it's kind of hard to say which one is the best. I mean,
right.
it's a difficult conversation to have. It truly is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if Kobe was able to win, you know, 2 more rings, then, you know, that could really kind of end that conversation. But but I don't know if he's got I just don't know if he has the legs to do it.
Right. Kobe is still one of the best players in the league, but you do see a little drop-off, a little. Not a lot.
Oh, no, there's a full drop-off. I mean, he's long in the tooth. He's, you know, I mean, he's just the guy. There's no doubt he's, you know, mentally probably the toughest guy in the league.
Right.
I mean, the guy plays through anything, you know, but I think, you know, doesn't he have the most minutes in the league? Doesn't he average the most minutes in the league?
He's played a lot of minutes.
You know, yeah, he's played a lot of minutes, and, you know, so I just think that, you know, I think that, not the best player in the league right now. I think LeBron probably takes that.
I would agree with LeBron.
But he's surely not far behind.
Truly not truly. I mean, he's still Kobe, but not as Kobe, not the Kobe we've seen in years past, but he's still Kobe. He's still Kobe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still feel comfortable with him with the ball at the end of the game.
Definitely. I would think you would feel more comfortable with Kobe in comparison to LeBron at the end of the game. So, but I think you would feel comfortable
with
a lot of people over LeBron at the end of the game.
For sure.
We're talking to actor, one of the stars of AMC's The Killing, Eric Layden. And Eric, speaking of The Killing, it will return April 1st, the second season, 2-hour season premiere. What can we expect in season 2?
Ooh, a lot, man. Season 2 is packed full of goodness. It picks up, you know, right where we left off in season 1, and you know, you can expect a lot more of the same. The endings of each episode will leave you craving more, and you will eventually at some point find the killer of Rosie Larson, which I know a lot of the fans of The Killing are anxiously awaiting.
Right. I mean, you left a lot of us hanging there.
Yeah, there was, which I thought was kind of cool. I know there was an uproar about the finale, but I thought it was kind of cool the way they did it. And, you know, season two is well worth the wait. It asks, you know, all sorts of different questions. A lot of people have secrets, including Rosie Larson. So, you know, it starts to dig a little deeper in the personalities of the main characters. And, you know, I think the fans will be really excited.
And do you have anything else in the works other than The Killing going on for you?
No, I'm living in Vancouver. I'm going back and forth to L.A. a little bit for I narrate a show on the History Channel called Mudcats, which is a neat show. It follows these fishermen in Oklahoma that catch catfish with their hands. And
wow.
If you haven't seen that before, it's pretty interesting. You can check it out on Thursday nights on History Channel.
I think we had those guys on.
Did you? Yeah, they're crazy.
I forgot their name, so we did have them on.
I think we had Crazy One and
yeah,
Crazy
crazy.
Two, Paul.
Exactly. Yeah, they're there's some interesting guys there. I mean, I don't know how you catch catfish with your hands. That's interesting.
I don't like catching catfish with you know, bait, much less my hand.
You're right. I'm not a big fishing guy myself. I'm definitely not a big fishing guy. So you're right. I don't want to catch it with bait or any type of object or instrument. So,
yeah, well, check
right.
it out. It's worth watching. It's fun.
No, I mean it sounds fun. I mean catching fish with your hands. That's just it's just interesting. It's just very interesting.
Yeah.
And Eric, look
at these little fish. Either by the way, these are we're talking, you know, 60-pound flathead catfish. So we're not talking about, you know, 10-pound bass.
With your hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should try it.
Yeah, I told him. I said if we do a season two, I want to go out there and I want to try a little noodling. See how good I am at it.
I think you do just fine.
I'll probably have a steel glove on, though. You know, they'll probably make fun of me. Got to
right.
protect my hands.
You definitely got to protect your hands. They're your moneymaker.
That's right.
You got to protect the moneymaker. And Eric,
I get a call from Jim Buss to come out there and play the one position. You know, I got to have
exactly.
my hands all ready to go.
They need you.
That's right.
So, Eric, where can fans connect with you?
They can connect with me on my website, ericladen.com, and they can follow me on Twitter, where I talk a lot of Lakers and USC football and The Killing and everything in between, and that's at Eric Laden.
Fans, make sure you connect with this man. Very knowledgeable about his Lakers. He loves his Lakers. You seem a little down about your Lakers right now, but hopefully for you,
well,
things will get better.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's see. Maybe they'll make a move in the next couple of days, and we can make a pretty good little run. We'll see, though.
You never know. Hopefully.
That's right.
Everybody, The Killing premieres April 1st, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on AMC, and it will return to its normal slot at 9 o'clock, correct, after this premiere?
That's correct. It'll fill in right with its normal slot, and it will be back-to-back with Mad Men starting the following week. So it's a pretty good lineup for AMC.
Again, make sure you check it out. 2 hours of The Killing, April 1st. After that, you can see it each and every Sunday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central on AMC. Support my man Eric Laden. Eric, it was a pleasure talking to you. We wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward. I can't really root for your Lakers like that, but I wish you nothing but the best of luck. How about that?
Hey, I appreciate it, Paul, man. Always a pleasure to chat with you. We'll talk soon for sure.
Definitely. Take care, Eric.
All right, man. Be good.
Eric Laden, one of the stars of AMC The Killing, airs each and every Sunday, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central on AMC. But on April 1st, the season premiere, it will air at 8 o'clock, 2 hours of The Killing, 2 hours of my man Eric Laden. You can't ask for any more than that. You can't ask for any more than 2 hours of Eric Layden. Can you?
Maybe
you can't
two
really.
Hours of Eric, maybe 2 hours of that and then 2 hours of learning how to catch catfish.
Well, yeah, especially with your hands. Especially with your hands.
Maybe that'll help your basketball dribbling ball.
Maybe. I mean, could you imagine catching catfish with your hands?
No.
Could
I mean,
you really,
imagine,
truly imagine that?
I can't imagine you beating Willie Roaf in this race. I
will beat Willie Roaf in a 50-yard dash. Willie Roaf, I mean, look, come on, let's go. He's 100 pounds bigger than me. He's 100
Paul,
pounds bigger than me.
Now.
I can't lose. I cannot
Paul,
lose to a man that's 100
you,
pounds bigger than me.
You
I can't
know,
do it.
Paul, you know what you look like in high school, and you know what you look like now. And yeah, you might have had a little bit of speed on you in high school, but, again, you know what you look like now. You lost yourself somewhere.
It's
really.
Not about what's happening now. It's what's going to happen then. So we can't focus on the now. We got to focus on the future. And I'm focusing on the future. I'm a guy who loves the future and loves focusing on the future because the future is always bright for everybody in the end because everything always works out for you. So I'm all about the future and focusing on the future and spending all my energies towards the future. And speaking of a guy who's worried about the future and worried about children all across the country and all across the world, let's bring in now Pittsburgh Steelers free agent running back, the one, the only, Mwelde Moore. Mwelde.
Hey,
how
Paul.
Are you, sir?
Great, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And Mwelde, let's get right down to it. Late in the year, you sprained your MCL. You missed the rest of the season. At this point, how's your knee at right now?
Oh, it's great. It's 100%, man. It's ready to roll.
Ready to roll? You ready to go?
Ready to play. Yeah.
And how agonizing was it for you to be on the sidelines as your Steelers were losing a wild card round to the Broncos?
Oh, that was extremely tough. That was something that was, a little gut-wrenching. Everybody really put together a great effort, and to see that last pass, 80 yards in overtime, man, you've seen all your hopes and dreams running down the sideline and running away from you.
Right. And looking at it now, I mean, you are a free agent. You spent 3 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is it your desire to return to the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I love being a Steeler. I mean, I love Steeler Nation and everything about it. So I would love to return. I know that it's a business and, free agency and all that is a part of it. But I'd love to be back.
And looking at it, I mean, looking at Pittsburgh, I mean, it seems like a great place to play football. You have the history. You have the fans. You have the organization. You have Coach Mike Tomlin. Talk about playing in Pittsburgh.
Man, playing in Heinz Field is unbelievable. I mean, when you start closing in and getting to those winter times, and you get a little snow, play some night games, it just reminds you of high school football, man. It's like playing on the Friday night lights, in front of family and friends. And everybody who has that passion and a desire, they understand football and they're watching it and they're rooting, cheering you on. And everybody's focused on one thing, and that's winning.
Right. And you look at it now, Mwelde. I mean, the reality is you are a free agent. The reality is football is a business. The Steelers already know what you bring to the table. But if you don't return to the Pittsburgh Steelers, what does Mwelde Moore bring to a team in the National Football League?
I think I bring a lot of things. I mean, first of all, winning the Super Bowl my first year as a Steeler and being a very instrumental part of that. Really constitutes for a lot of things, mainly just the being able to have the experience and the know-how to actually get to winning a championship. That's the first thing and foremost. I'm a great teammate, great team player, all about whatever it takes to win, from taking the boatload of the carries to doing every down to being a third down back special teams player. So my range is wide and broad, and I do everything well. So I think from that standpoint, guys and teams and coaches and organizations understand that, and that any team would love to have me.
And you talked about that Super Bowl. How special was that for you?
Oh, it was great, man. It was it's unbelievable when you see the confetti fall into the ground, and you know, that trophy's passed around, and you know, your family and kids are there and get to take pictures, and you know, and just everything that goes with it. It's one of those things that it's a never ending thing. It's all eternity. It's kind of like you're part of immortality, so to speak.
Right.
You know that you'll be in history forever.
Right. We're talking to free agent running back Mwelde Moore. Mwelde played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the last three seasons, and he played with them obviously last year. Mwelde, a lot has been made of the Saints bounty story. As an offensive player, are you concerned when you hear stories like this, or you just feel like it's just a part of the game?
I'm not necessarily concerned. I'm not. This is something that's new to me. But at the same time, like, I don't think you need to have that in place. Because we get paid a regular salary to pay, basically knock each other's heads off. So not one of those things where anything extra should be in place for that. It's just kind of one of the understood deal that football
right.
is played to, that people run into each other, people tackle each other, people hit each other as hard as they can in order to win football games. So, I mean, you know, bounties, I think that just kind of throws out some kind of dirty connotation with that. And I guess that's what makes it, you know, not a good look, you know, being that it's a dirty
right.
deal. You know, playing football the right way, playing it hard, playing with sportsmanship and the mindset of knowing that we're still human beings. It's kind of one of those things where, you know, you want to make sure you eliminate, you know, targeting guys and trying to, you know, hurt guys and take away their future. Because when you do that, you take away from a lot of things. You take away from someone's ability to take care of their family, someone's ability to provide for their community.
Right.
And be a good citizen in those aspects of giving back and looking out for their family.
And speaking
go
ahead, Jeremy.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, much like Paul was saying, has been with the coaching and certainly with the Saints. Is this as prevalent? We had Willie Rope on earlier, and he's talked much about this. Is this widely known inside of the NFL that teams certainly do reward, so to speak, this quote-unquote dangerous play?
This is like I said, this is new to me because guys on offense, you know, we just assignment type guys, you know, it's all about protecting and taking care of and carrying out your assignment and scoring points. So, you know, that's the thing about offense. I'm not really into the defensive side, just because, I mean, their objective is to stop, dominate, score, you know, if they can take away the ball and score if they get the opportunity to. So, you know, the mindsets are kind of totally different, you know. I would think for me to try to play a game to hurt somebody would be counterproductive.
Right. And you're a guy, obviously, you talked about doing work in the community. You're a guy who does a lot of work in the community, very busy in the community with your foundation, Mwelde Moore Knowledge First Foundation. What is the motivation behind this foundation?
Well, the motivation is simply to, you know, help, you know, our motto is Mwelde Moore Knowledge First Foundation is uplifting as we grow. And that's just basically, you know, as you continue to develop in everything that you know and evolve as a human being, you know, you continue to carry someone else with you. And that's where everything is pretty much derived from. It's just basically helping the next person next to you as best as you can. And it's not really that much of a hard deal, especially because, I mean, unless you're like, you know, someone who is who just doesn't interact with people at all,
right.
You know, it's just a simple interaction with a human or with your fellow man, just by, you know, giving him encouraging words is one way that, you know, defines, you know, uplifting as we grow. Our whole deal right now is basically we're all about being able to provide avenues for our kids, you know, in sports education, and with learning experiences, just to help them prepare for the real world. Reading literacy and financial literacy is a very common deal uncommon thing in most of the areas, you know, that I've grown up in and that I'm aware of in our community. And it's more common than you think that a lot of individuals, you would think, you know, we always try to attach it to people who have, you know, and say like, oh, well, it's kind of one of those things where the haves have all these things. Well, you know, someone who doesn't have is to me just as important as someone who may have, and being able to have the knowledge and have the understanding of what it is that's going to help, you know, empower an individual. You know, you break it down to it and you see that, you know, reading and financial literacy are so important. Those are pretty much the two major items that allow an individual to live a life, a successful life, but also enjoy it as well.
Right. And to your point, financial literacy, credit, establishing credit, understanding your credit scores, and get your credit score at a high level. I mean, these are very important things that people need to know. So it's good that you're doing some great things with that.
Correct. And that's one of the major points is someone understanding how important their credit score is, and understanding, like, when you're trying to buy a home, really the regulations right now as far as loans, Fannie Mae, you know, you have to have a higher credit score because you're not
right. –
People who can afford a home, you know, based on their credit score, which comes down to an interest rate. And if
right.
you're, you know, and at times before this mortgage crisis, which is basically the correction, it's basically the computer correction of people, you know, getting over and taking advantage of a system, you know, making you have to have a higher credit score now to be able to have something suitable so that you don't basically just work for your home your entire life and not have the
right.
ability to do other things like, you know, let's say breathe or just, you know, walk outside and walk outside and maybe enjoy, you know, a day at Chuck E. Cheese with your
right.
child. You know, these are very important aspects of life and living and just being able to relax. You know, I don't think that anybody – was designed to just have to totally work their entire lives. And I think there's ways to help individuals do that. Now, I do know that there are some people who have a lot of dreams and goals, and working for a very long time is definitely something that people have to do. And if you buy a home 30 years, it's something that you have, you know, agreed to do. And I think people have to understand, you know, how long 30 years really is.
Right.
And so those are things that we like to discuss and bring about a dialogue. Like us having this dialogue right now is something that's very important so that individuals can formulate a question and that they may have come up with and try to provide an answer for that question so that they can continue to develop and grow and understand, you know, their situation and address it, you know, head on, you know, just talking about credit scores at a dinner table, you know, a lot of people probably struck. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
A lot of homes, you know, people who don't have, they don't talk about things like this at their dinner table. They don't talk about
right.
credit scores. They don't talk about, you know, saving money, and they don't talk about that. Well, one thing is because these families don't have it. You know, families don't have things in their pocketbook or in their bank say that they have to save. They're, you know, I've heard my mom say all the time, you know, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, they're balancing that checkbook and it's not anything there to balance. So they don't feel like they have the ability, or they don't even want to talk about it to their kids to bring about that worry or even that concern. And I think that's on the contrary. I think that the more you bring it to the table about, you know, your family situation, everything, your kids are your future, and not to take away from them, not to put, you know, Adam's
name on the phone bill, you know, and stuff like that to mess up his credit and stuff. Those things are really important to really protect your children and to help them avoid the situations that they a parent who may not have. It's really important to help them understand that so that they can avoid the situation and not getting the same problems that are in there that go with their parents. And I appreciate my mom for, you know, exactly letting me know what was going on with our situation, you know, when I posed the question of, you know, why I can't have, you know, those types of shoes, you know, the new shoes that are out, stuff like that. And she addressed me immediately with saying, you know, son, it takes money, you know, and
right.
it's money that we don't have. And
right.
I was like, you know, my immediate response was, oh, money? So if it takes money, then that's something that I really need to make sure that I get a part of, get a hold of, and I want to be able to get a lot of it to provide
for myself and for and well, growing now it's, you know, for my family, but at that time it was for myself.
And you look at it, that mindset that you have, it seems like you're really preparing yourself also for life after football.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm already in a situation to be prepared for life after football. That's not one of the concerns of mine. I mean, I went to school. I studied hard. I learned finance and accounting. I double majored. So Tulane is a great academic school, and
right.
I appreciate, you know, all the information and knowledge that Tulane has given me. But at the same time, like, I've also understood about doing the research of not just being a person who's just going to work all your entire life. It's just a person. I've learned also that there's ways to do things to where, you know, you don't have to work your entire all your life once you get to a place. Now,
right.
I mean, of course, that means, you know, understanding your financial situation and what occupation you have and what type of income you have coming in. But it doesn't mean that just because you don't get to live in a multi-thousand square foot home with you know, the picket fence and you know, and all these things that, you know, everybody dreams of, you know, just being able to be comfortable in a dream that, you know, that best suits you so you don't have to live in a nightmare is pretty much kind of, you know, is pretty much the thought process behind, you know, financial literacy and all those things.
And I mean, this is a very interesting conversation, and I think it's a conversation, like you said, that needs to be had at a lot of dinner tables because, again, you talked about people putting phone bills in the name of their children and things of that nature. I mean, we laugh at those kind of things, but those type of things are happening. And so the reality is by you pushing their message and getting it out there, hopefully we can educate people about those type of things and about credit because, like you said, it is a very important thing, very important thing. So I'm glad you're doing that. I mean, it's a great message, And looking at it, you got some great events coming up, including your football and cheerleading camp. Talk about that.
Yeah, we've been going. Well, this is our sixth year going with our football camp and our cheerleading camp. We got the Cheer Stars headed by Sean LaGuard. She has a company. She's doing this for free, to help out our kids, our girls from 6 to 14, ages 6 to 14. The camp is actually March 17th, our football camp, it ranges from ages 9 to 17, and we have over 200 plus participants each year. The camp is absolutely free. We provide a meal for the kids. We also give them a breakfast snack. We provide lunch for them, and the camp goes from 8:30, which is registration. Then we start the camp at 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And it's been a total success. We've been having a great time. Kids have a great time. They learn a lot of things. We provide them with not just football information, but we change up things all the time. Where we have Dr. Rainey come in. He's also known as the hip hop doc. He talks about you know, the awareness of alcohol and all the things that go on with that, and then also health awareness as far as eating and proper nutrition. And then we bring in the proper ways to warm up and stretch for an individual. in any athletic form that they may take upon. And then we get into the drills. And all these drills are really just speed and agility drills. I mean, these drills are used for everybody. This is not just football. Then we get to our football specific, what kids, you know, at this point in time in their life and their size and structure, what they feel like they want to do. And then we break for lunch, come back, and they do a skills competition. With skills competition, it's like running the 40 and throwing the ball around and hitting targets, stuff like that. And then we come in and do our flag football deal. So it's a great deal. It's a great opportunity. We bring in professional football players from all over. And this year, just to name a few, Super Bowl champion Michael Clayton of New York Giants will be there. Ryan Clark, Pro Bowler, will be there. Isaac Redman will be there. And many more. And, the list is going on and on as far as who's been able to show up in the past and guys who are coming up now. So that's a great, great, great deal. And people can check that out on my website, MeWeldyMoreKnowledgeFirst.org. That's MMKFF.org. You can go to my website, click on events, and you can click on the tabs, either golf or the football event tab on MMKFF.org. That's short for Me Weldy More Knowledge First Foundation, if you don't want to type in the whole deal. And that's Me Weldy More Knowledge First Foundation.org. And the golf tournament, we have guys coming in as well for the golf tournament. It's at the Oaks of Sherwood. Registration starts at 10 o'clock. And then we have a shotgun start at 12 all the way up to 5 o'clock. And we're partnering up with the American Diabetes Association. So partial proceeds will go to them as well. My grandmother had diabetes, so that's the reason why we're partnering up with them. I understand how diabetes affects, families, and it has affected my family. And she was a great woman, and she did a lot of great things for our family. But also I would like to draw awareness and also for a potential prevention for those things. While, a lot of times diabetes is prevented, just by eating properly and treating your body the right way. So wanted to draw awareness with that, and also, providing, we got wonderful prizes with the golf tournament. I mean, we have partnerships with Dick's Sporting Goods, American Eagle, Team Honda, Marucci Bag Company, wow, Zeno's, the list goes on, just with all the guys that we actually have that are helping us out with our golf tournament and providing sponsorships, Cox Communications. I mean, I have a list. I have to just look over on my own to provide you with all the sponsors. But it's a great opportunity for people. We got great prizes and gifts, and also a solid auction with a plethora of jerseys and football items that people can auction on and bid on and help us continue to get where we're trying to go with our foundation and helping out our community.
Definitely. I mean, you're very busy in the community. You got a lot of great events coming up. And real quickly, again, where can fans find out about all these great events?
New Orleans More Knowledge First Foundation.org. That's MMKFF.org. You could just type that in into your browser, and it'll show everything. And then click the events tab. And once you click the events tab, it'll take you right into where you can click the golf kit, media golf kit, or you can click on the football camp. So all that's there. We try to make it as simple as possible. And when you can donate, if you wanted to donate, just simply you can click the PayPal donation, click PayPal, and the amount that you want to donate. It's also the same way with the golf tournament. We're receiving things through PayPal with the golf tournament. We know that if you donated $100 or $400, we'll send you confirmation about that, as far as being able to come in as a foursome or playing as an individual. And that's at the Oaks of Sherwood in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, March 19th. That's on a Monday, coming up soon. And we've got a lot of people registered right now, but, you know, we still have room. So you can walk in and register, or you can register through the internet.
Fans, please support some of the great things he's doing in the community. A lot of great things, a lot of great events coming up. Golf tournament, March 19th. You got the camp coming up, March 17th. You got a lot of great things going on, man. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck with your free agency. Nothing but the best of luck with your foundation. Appreciate you coming on, and let's do this again.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. And you can see all the events that we do. We do a charity Christmas shopping spree with teamed up with the Boys and Girls of America for Christmas for kids who are not going to see a Christmas, kids who are not going to have a Christmas. And we provided them with a shopping spree to be able to do that, 50 Boys and Girls. So there's a lot of things that we're doing and a lot of things that we got coming up with financial seminar. We're getting ready to do that in the next closing months too as well.
Well, Wilde, keep it up. Keep all the great things you're doing in the community up, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks. Thanks,
Take
Paul.
Care.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Mawelde Moore, free agent running back, played with the Pittsburgh Steelers last season. I expect him to reports are that he probably will return to the Steelers, especially with Mendenhall and his whole injury situation. He may not be ready by the time the season starts. So I expect Mawelde Moore to return to the Pittsburgh Steelers, to the black and yellow. So, I mean, we wish him nothing but the best of luck. A lot of great things that he's doing in the community, and we can't discount that. I mean, he's doing some great, great things in the community. And conversations about credit, conversations about your financial future and taking care of your finances and all that great stuff, those are conversations that need to be had.
And you like to hear an athlete. Certainly you like to hear a guy who made no secrets about the fact that he's proud to say that his future is well taken care of, that he has a degree. It's not just money. He's counting on, you know, his abilities. You certainly like to hear athletes talking about the fact that they recognize, you know, the power of the dollar bill, not just from a purchasing standpoint, but essentially from a saving standpoint. That's very powerful. We don't hear enough about that, if at all. That's a very big rarity.
Very powerful statement, very powerful things that Mawelde Moore is doing in the community. So we wish him nothing but the best of luck with all that he is doing. And now, looking forward now, again, Peyton Manning has said he wants to make his decision in about a week. So if it's going to be made in a week, that's next Friday. Right now, let's make a guess or a prediction on where Peyton Manning goes. I'll start first, and I believe Peyton Manning will go to the Denver Broncos. I believe that's an opportunity for him there in Denver, a team with a solid defense, a team that has a decent running game, a team that hopefully can acquire some weapons, and who knows if Reggie Wayne is a package deal with Peyton Manning, they can add a Reggie Wayne. They already have a Demaryius Thomas, a guy with big size and a guy with a 4.3 40, and we saw what he did to the Pittsburgh Steelers in that playoff game. So if I'm going to make a prediction, I think Peyton Manning ends up with John Elway, John Fox, and the Denver Broncos. Jeremy, your prediction.
I'm going to surprise a lot of people. I really do think that I think it's going to be Seattle. I think Seattle is a small I think the small market team would be perfect for him. It's his model. And I think the fact that he gets to coach with a guy like tell me out the name, Paul. Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll would love to have – I think at this point in his career would love – to get an established quarterback. And I really think they have the running game that fits right now, although Denver does too. I think unfortunately for Denver, it's way too cold out there for a guy like Peyton.
Well, yes, I mean, it is cold in Denver. And so who likes cold weather? But, I mean, again, I think this is an opportunity for him in Denver, an opportunity with a team that's pretty good. And so a team with a good offensive line in Denver. And so I think that would be his landing spot for Peyton Manning, but we shall see. We want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping on by, getting his thoughts on this whole Peyton Manning thing. We also want to thank Eric Layden from The Killing. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Eric Layden, and follow some of the great things that he's doing. And also we want to thank Mwelde Moore, free agent running back. We want to thank him. And again, make sure you go to his foundation website, mmkff.org. mmkff.org. I would give you the full address, but I think this is probably an easier way for you to get to the website and access the website and at least remember the website address. And again, it's mmkff.org. And that's Mwelde Moore, some of the great things he's doing with his foundation. And again, I mean, give him a lot of credit, helping people out in the community. That's what this whole thing is about. To whom much is given, much is expected. And Mwelde Moore is taking that message and really running with it and helping people in his community. You can listen to this show and other great shows at blogtalkradio.com/and. You can also follow the show on Twitter at GoForAgant. Struggle here with a cold, but I made it through. I'm here. It's almost over. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gant. Hope you're well. See you later. Take care. Bye.